This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're tuned into Enterprise on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and today we are talking about one of my favorite topics, food. More specifically, about all things chicken. Here with me in studio is Steen Pogard, the CEO of fried chicken franchise Four Fingers. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Right, so first of all, if people have not actually heard of Four Fingers, they sell fried chicken. I've covered that clearly. And they have outlets in a lot of different places. They have one in Mid Valley Mall, and they have also one in Sunway Pyramid. There are, I think, a couple of others as well.
New Central and Pujai Cham Square.
Yes, yeah. So if you haven't already, you know, tried their food, please go. It's delicious. I'm a little bit biased today in my interview because I've been there and I love it. But if people don't actually know a lot about Four Fingers, can you tell us how did Four Fingers come about?
Well, it started by our founder setting out to really find some much better tasting fried chicken than what was available in the market in general. They had sojourned around the world and ended up in Koreatown in New York, where they tried this amazing traditional Korean fried chicken. But because they were really brand people and concept people, they said, let's bring that to Singapore, but create our own brand around it. And that was how Four Fingers got started in 2009. Mm. In Singapore.
Right. So that's the reason why, if you haven't been to these outlets, they're styled very much so in a very New York kind of imagery, right? They have kind of a subway signs and things like, come to the Lower East Side and that kind of thing. Yeah. So is that why it's branded in that way?
That kind of goes back to how we got started. But in the meantime, we are kind of a brand that is slightly discontented. We like to change things and see whether we can improve things all the time. We don't want to be sort of a too big corporate brand.
Yeah.
We're a small brand that are owned by a couple of people, and we can do things the way that we like to turn them rather than thinking like a big corporation.
Mm.
So all our stores are quite different. They all look like Four Fingers, but they're quite different in the way that they are designed.
Right, I see. Yeah. One thing that I noticed when I visited your outlet and dined there is actually that you have kind of television screens around, and it's showing this kind of advertisement on a loop. But it was really interesting. It was really unique and nothing I'd seen before. You're talking to people and they're all saying like, I love Four Fingers, but it's not the same thing that you'll see from like McDonald's,
not a
whatever.
Promotional role.
Right.
Or
it just,
so
it just so happens that it's just people talking about chicken and they like it and you see them eating it and stuff. So can you actually tell me a little bit more about, you know, how you market Four Fingers as a brand?
Most of my career has been in marketing. I've worked with big brands like Disney, McDonald's, Burger King, and so on. And the basic marketing premise for them is to build loyalty from consumers to their brand. But I think that the days of that working are going to be over pretty soon. The new consumers, the so-called millennials, they are very critical about how they spend their money, and they will always ask first, what's in it for me? So I think brands nowadays need to establish loyalty from them to the consumers that they're targeting. So some of the ways we do this is to try to be very unbranded. So if you go to our stores, you may see a Four Fingers logo, but it'll be part of the decoration of the store. It'll be painted with a brush onto the wall and things like that. We don't do any traditional marketing via advertising. We work with social media. We work a lot with Instagram and so on. And we try to engage ourselves in courses that we associate with as a brand.
Mm.
So we link up with. So I'll start with what we did last year in connection with the Rio Olympics. There was a young aspiring rower called Aisha who tried to qualify for the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
She did eventually qualify, but there was no one to pay for her journey to Rio. Not even the sports council in Singapore.
Oh, wow.
So I've known her for many years and said, tell you what, we will support you because, not because you are raw, because you are a person who stands for aspirations, big dreams, commitment, and so on. And that's kind of what Four Fingers also stands for. Very small business, but with big dreams. So we're very pleased to see her row. And even though she didn't win a gold medal, to me, I think representing your country in the Olympics, that is the highest achievement you can accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing we got engaged in was arts.
Okay.
So there was a bit of a naughty artist in Singapore called Sam Low, who got in trouble a few years ago because she's put stickers onto road signs saying my grandfather wrote. And she was put in jail, got a quite short jail term, but it was more a symbolic event than anything else.
Mm.
But we quite like her because she's a disruptor, she's a rebel, and she's not afraid of taking on the giants. So she's decorated a couple of our stores. She's done an amazing artwork in our first store in Melbourne, in Australia, the whole facade right on Bourke Street in Melbourne.
Wow.
And lastly, I should mention that we are doing a free music event in Singapore in September. So anyone from Malaysia would like to come on down. September, I think we can probably add the dates on our Facebook page, but free concert. There's going to not even be any requirement to buy our foods there. Just come on down and have a good time.
Wow, that sounds like a really fun experience. And I think it really shows that even though, you know, primarily this is, you know, an F&B company, they also focus a lot on the people, not just the people who work in the company, but the consumers and their experience. Even on your website, I can see, you know, it's very conversational. All of the copy is very face-to-face, like this, talking to people and saying, hey, this is great food, you know, using hashtags and stuff. And it's very relevant and very casual. But it feels very homey and friendly.
Yeah.
So I think that really appeals.
That's because there are things you can do when you're a small brand that you could never do when you're a big brand because it wouldn't be credible. We think that retaining that authenticity of our brand is really important for us because we are brand first, and we can see that there are consumers who look for brands that they can relate to, who are seen as real brands that they can. That they'd be happy to associate themselves with. I'm not going to mention any names, but there are competitors in the market now that I think no one would want to run around with their name on their T-shirt.
Right.
But our staff is happy to wear their uniforms to and from work, for instance. That, to me, is a very good sign.
Mm-hmm. Also, this is another question that I've been dying to ask ever since I found out about this company. Why call it Four Fingers? I don't really, you know, my first association with that is not of food, right? So actually, what is the story behind that name?
Well, there were four guys who started us. And,
okay.
And I suppose that they were sitting around a dinner table one night and saying, what should we call us? Well, there are four of us and Four Fingers was there. And then the link with fried chicken is that when you hold a piece of chicken wing,
right.
You actually use four fingers to hold two thumbs and two index fingers.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's really lovely. I think that's really nice because I was just wondering for so long, thinking like when the friend who introduced me to Four Fingers was like, oh, let's go eat fried chicken at this place. I was like, why? What is this name?
Mm-hmm.
But now that I know that actually makes a lot of sense.
It's important that brands stick out, right? Because people today are inundated with messages from their phones, from computers, from TVs, radios. So brands should really try to cut through and be different rather than blend in and be all the same.
Mm.
So everything that we do with Four Fingers tries to disrupt and do things in ways that are new, better, and different.
I understand that you've been CEO of Four Fingers for 4 years, but clearly the company was established before that in 2009. So what has your experience been joining a pre-established company?
I would say amazing.
Yeah?
When I was approached the first time, I hadn't heard of Four Fingers and I wasn't eating a lot of fried chicken. But there was something about the owners that I sort of made me go down and have a look at it. It was at that time like a one-outlet chain, but I saw a lot of potential. So I joined the company in February 2013 and have seen the company through a change of ownership in 2014 that brought with it some funding that we needed to open new stores. So during the first about 1 year when I was aboard, it was only one store in Singapore. After we changed owners and got some funding, we've now grown from, I think we had around 2 million Singapore dollars, about 6 million ringgit in revenue
in
2013. This year, we're looking at hitting around 90 million ringgit in revenue in our stores in Singapore, Malaysia. We have two stores in Indonesia, and we just opened three stores in Australia.
Yes. I mean, we're going to discuss that kind of jump in revenue a little bit later on. But before we do that, just as a general kind of question, because we were talking about the fact that you still source your ingredients locally and that it comes from a very kind of homegrown concept. But apart from that, what separates Four Fingers products from other fast food poultry-based outlets?
Well, I would start by saying that we think very much as a brand. I mean, we think that the brands are the best way to capture and defend market share. It's the best way to build value for the company. So we are brand first, a brand with a great experience. So we spend a lot of time on really curating the experience, how we design the stores, the staff that we hire. The kind of music that we play. We have a 350-song playlist on Spotify and so on.
Nice.
So it's all about being an experience, but with some amazing fried chicken. So that's really what's driving us. And we're very happy that today in Singapore, we have almost 90% brand awareness, even though we only have, I say only in quotation marks, only 12 stores in Singapore.
Right.
Malaysia, the brand is growing very nicely because people enjoy the experience that we give them. They enjoy the food. And I would say that I'm probably a bit biased, but I would say that it's some of the best chicken out there.
Right? I mean, I gotta agree with that, to be honest. Speaking of your chicken, actually, at the moment, your chicken only comes in two flavors. So there's soy garlic, and then there's hot. Are there any plans to introduce more? Or
Yeah. So we are working on a few other flavors. But what is important for any brand is that it has a very, very single-minded proposition to consumers. So rather than inundate people with choices, we know that people like choices, but they tend to buy the same.
Yep.
So we stuck with about two flavors for the first 8 years of our existence. We have other flavors coming along, like extra spicy and lemongrass that we experiment with.
Nice.
But we will roll them out when we think the time is right. And for now, sales are growing every single day. So there's no reason for us to go out and offer new products if people are already coming the way things are.
Yeah, exactly. And at any point, do you intend on creating localized versions of your products? Because fast food chains like McDonald's have kind of country-specific items and that kind of thing. Since you guys are in currently four countries, do you intend on maybe following in that vein?
What we always do is look at what can the market bear in terms of pricing and serving sizes and so on. So we're sensitive to that. But it's important for us that we don't begin to go out and try to do too many things too soon. Our brand in Malaysia is still growing. The simple menu, the nice brand experience, and the brand itself can provide growth for us for the next, I think, 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we have to begin to look at other innovations. But for now, the products that we have on our menu right now is enough to drive the growth that we're after.
Yeah, okay. Kind of building off the point about growth, right? Have you faced any challenges in trying to promote your brand internationally?
Not really. I would rather say that growth right now is a matter of where do we start first. Because over the years, we've gotten probably thousands of franchise inquiries from all around the world. People who've come to Singapore, who've seen our stores, they said, wow, I want to bring that to Bahrain or to the US or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more a matter of where do we start first. And the reason that we are going for Australia and US, which are big and very competitive markets, is because we believe that it'll give us the best return on our efforts, right?
Right.
If we can crack the US, can you imagine what our brand will be worth in 4 or 5 years from now?
Yeah.
Versus if we grow in some smaller, more emerging market in Singapore, so in our Southeast Asia, it'll be good business. But in terms of the value of the brand, markets like US, Australia, UK, and Germany will have a huge impact on the brand itself.
Right, yeah. Okay, that definitely makes a lot of sense. For now, we need to take a short break, but when we come back, we will be talking to Steen Pagard, CEO of Four Fingers, about taking fried chicken to Europe and the US. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Christine Wong, and you're listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9. I'm talking to Steen Pagard, the CEO of fried chicken empire Four Fingers. Speaking of doing things that are new and different, the inspiration for Four Fingers started in New York, but was brought to Singapore first, and then it expanded to Malaysia, Indonesia, and Australia. How was Four Fingers first brought over to Malaysia specifically?
Well, we had already at that time about 3 or 4 stores in Singapore, and we were beginning to look at what other markets to grow into. Malaysia is a market that is close to our hearts because our owner, Vijay, is actually born in Kuantan.
Oh, that's so
nice.
And
many of our raw ingredients are from Malaysia, including our sauces and our chicken. I think the sauces specifically are made by a family-owned company in Penang, a second generation where the father started the company about 50 years ago. He used to go around in Penang with his trishaw and sell his homemade soy sauces. And these are the people that we have chosen to work with today, because they've grown with us since we started in 2009.
Wow, so there's definitely a big sense of loyalty and also of keeping things simple, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and homegrown.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit more about why, I mean, we've covered kind of why you guys expanded to Malaysia, but how about Indonesia and Australia? What was that process? Why those countries?
So when I took over Four Fingers in 2013, I saw a fantastic brand that had a huge potential because I worked with big brands in the past like McDonald's, Burger King, Coffee Bean Tea Leaf, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And what all brands go through is a life cycle where they're growing and then they're plateauing and then they kind of begin to taper off.
Mm-hmm.
What we see is that in many mature consumer markets, consumers are getting quite tired of the established brands because they are the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our competitors go back to the 50s, you know, and their proposition is the same as it was when they were started in the 1950s. We, as a small brand, can be much more nimble and provide people with a much more relevant experience, much better products and much better service and so on. So we said that in markets where brands have been around for a long time, like Australia, the US, UK, and so on. These are the markets where consumers are craving new brands like ours, because they still go to the old brands, but it's because there are no other options. So we come in with a new brand, a fresh brand, a young brand, a slightly naughty, disruptive, irreverent brand with a better quality, and people really like that.
Mm, yeah, I think it's definitely really interesting. I've noticed that in terms of marketing as well, there are some kind of risque slogans and stuff that you guys use, but it's attention-catching and it's unique. So it really works for your brand, and it definitely brings something new. Now, each country has, their own unique culture and customs. Do you customize the marketing approach for each country, or is it kind of across the board, roughly about the same?
What we customize, of course, is how we engage with consumers, but our message is always built on really our brand's DNA, which is about disruption, about being part of a resistance.
Mm-hmm.
We think that people's expectations to food in general have been defined by the brands that are sitting on these markets for way too long. So people have been conditioned to expect certain things. We say, let's shake that up, because we know that we can provide something that's better. So a brand always really seeks to disrupt, because that is what our DNA is all about. So when we go into new markets, we try to retain that.
Mm.
But of course, we look at what is then the best way to get that message out to consumers in the new markets we go into.
Now, before the break, as you also mentioned, you plan on expanding further, right, to Europe and to the US. Nevertheless, fried chicken is really familiar, right? It's kind of a comfort food that is very well known in those regions. And so it will be a big challenge to penetrate that market. As you kind of mentioned very, very briefly, you are kind of trying to do that so that it can kind of eventually become a household name. But why not continue expanding within this region first, like somewhere like Thailand or New Zealand or something? Why jump straight there?
We are doing that concurrently. But for us, the big prize, of course, are the big competitive markets like US, UK and Germany. We're growing in Malaysia. We're growing in Singapore. We will continue to grow and open more stores in Australia. We are exploring partnerships in Thailand, Indonesia and Philippines at the moment. But in terms of where we spend our time and our resources, these are the big countries are the ones that we go for first. When we have found the right partner in other neighboring countries, we will definitely go in there also. But for us, UK, US and Germany are the big prizes that we're looking at right now.
Right. Any specific parts of the U.S. that you guys are looking
yeah,
at?
Yeah, we actually have a guy working for us in L.A. right now. He's identified three potential sites for us.
Mm-hmm.
So our chairman visited just this week and likes all three of them. So potentially we could have not one, not two, but three stores in L.A. pretty soon.
Wow, that's really
great.
It's very
exciting for us.
Yeah.
And people I used to work with in the big players in this industry, they shake their heads and say, are you crazy? Why do you go so far away? How is it possible? But the nice thing about our brand is that the supply, the demand for raw material is very simple, right? We just need a safe supply of chicken, vegetables, rice, fries, and drinks. There's nothing customized about our requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So what it means is that we can go to any country around the world where we see that there is consumer demand for a brand like ours and set up shop. The only thing that we need to then provide the stores with our own sources.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned before, they come from Penang and they will continue to come from Penang for a long time. But soy sauces are pretty easy to handle and ship, so that shouldn't hold us back, right?
Right, I see. Are there any kind of obstacles that you're expecting to potentially encounter in this massive, massive plan?
Not really. I mean, it's always a challenge to find leases as and when you need them and at the right commercial terms.
Mm-hmm.
But as I mentioned, the business is a very simple business to set up and operate. So the way that we're going to get around finding leases is just to look for more leases at the same time,
mm-hmm,
in more countries, and that's going to get us to the growth that we're looking for.
Right. You mentioned that you guys are looking at outlets in LA, and LA is very well known for kind of liking more healthy food, right? Like kind of more greens and vegan and gluten-free and whatnot. And I actually noticed that you guys put the nutritional value of your menu items on your website, mm-hmm, or on the menu itself, and you kind of advertise yourself as the healthy choice. There's no MSG, there's no nothing like that, right?
Yeah. So I say I have two kids, 6 and 9,
mm-hmm,
and they can eat at Four Fingers as often as they like, because
right,
I know what goes into the food. I know how it's cooked. We can't claim that our food is particularly low calorie, but our food, given a normal serving size, is well within the daily recommended allowance.
Mm.
We don't use any MSGs or any additives or flavorings. It's all natural. So for me, there's nothing there that should hold us back from going out and asking people to eat four fingers as often as they would like,
right.
As long as they're assuming normal portion size.
Yeah, and also it is still fried chicken at its core, right? So don't go there if you're on a diet, I suppose, mm-hmm. right? All right, so... kind of looking at the path that Four Fingers has taken in the past 4 years specifically, because you mentioned briefly earlier that there was a massive increase in revenue from about $2 million to about $30 million, which is a massive, massive jump. Can you actually tell us a little bit more about how you managed to go about that and create that?
Yeah, it actually is very simple. So because we had only one store in Singapore for the first 4 years of our existence, we kind of became a bit of a phenomenon. I say that we were world famous in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
So what it meant was that when we finally had gone through the change of ownership and we've gotten a little bit of funding to open more stores, that the brand awareness and the brand preference was all over Singapore. So it was mm-hmm. a matter of finding where should we build the stores. But as soon as the stores were built, they were hitting the ground running and knocking the lights out, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a format that we will follow. So basically, we will let the brand awareness and the brand preference grow ahead of the brand presence, meaning that we want to really focus on being a brand first
mm-hmm.
that is known for an experience around some great fried chicken. So that when we open stores, people know us already, and there's no ramping up period for new stores.
Right. Can you share any other goals that that you intend on achieving with Four Fingers in the near future?
Well, obviously, as we grow, it'll be important for us to retain the X factor about our brand,
right.
Which I can't quite put my finger on. But we resonate very well with people who are disenfranchised and disgruntled with whatever else is out in the market.
Mm-hmm.
We don't try to home in on a particular demographic. We're trying to appeal to a mindset
mm-hmm.
of people who says, I want better choices. I want something that is more real, something that's more authentic. So, of course, the risk is as we grow, that we might dilute some of that authenticity and originality about our brand.
Right.
It's also a matter of making sure that we build the right culture mm-hmm. of the people who join our company.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I spend a lot of time on is to make sure that people are well taken care of and are respected and treated nicely.
Mm.
In my time, I've seen people in restaurants being treated very, very poorly. And I always said, when I'm in a position to shape a company and its culture, we want to make sure that people feel well taken care of.
Right.
The results speak for themselves. In Singapore, staff stability in food and beverage tends to be very, very low. Typically, the entire crew of a restaurant would be gone within a year and replaced with a new one. For us, it's the reverse. So we basically have managers who've been with us for several years, and even the rank and file crew are also very loyal to us because I suppose we treat them like human beings.
Right. It's as simple as that, right,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Also, on your website, you actually have a little link to join your company in terms of franchising and such like. Can you tell me a little bit more about what are some of the kind of challenges and experiences you've had? Because franchises specifically are kind of a difficult thing to pull off, right?
Well, a franchise partnership is a bit like a marriage, right? That when you are joined together, you should stay together for 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Mm.
So for us, the vetting of potential partners and making sure that we are aligned with regard to our understanding of what the brand stands for, how quick it can grow and what it would require to operate it is really important. But I will take the approach that I picked up from McDonald's, that once you then have signed the contract, you put the contract in the drawer and you work together as a partnership. I think there are many bad examples of franchisors using a very legalistic approach to franchisees and saying, you have signed this dotted line, you better do this. We want our franchisees to make lots of money because if they do, then there's a chance they will open more stores. And mm-hmm. if they open more stores, then our overall system grows.
Right, I see. And speaking of kind of taking things to like the next level, you guys also have a delivery feature, but I don't know if that's available here in Malaysia.
Not yet. No, it's a matter of finding the right partner for us.
Mm-hmm.
We can see that the delivery business is growing worldwide at leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it's something that we have to do. We think it's best to enjoy our food in our nice stores because there we have the environment and the music and the staff and the food will be fresher and more tasty. So until we can assure that there's a minimum compromise on quality for home delivery in Malaysia, we haven't offered it yet, but we're working on it.
Right, okay. And just before we kind of wrap up, I also wanted to ask you about Malaysia itself, because you currently have, I believe...
Four
stores here. So do you intend on creating more outlets here as well? And if so, where do you think they would be?
So Malaysia right now is going through a very rapid growth of new malls opening up. There's going to be almost a 50% increase in the amount of retail space in malls over this current 2 or 3 year period. So it'll be very important for us and any other retailer or operator to be very careful about what malls they go into, because there's going to be what we see, an oversupply of mall space. There'll be some very, very sweet deals in terms of low prices, low rents. Mm-hmm. But usually, if you pay low rent, you also have low traffic, low footfall. So we will cherry pick very carefully where we go in. We're looking at big malls like Pavilion, KLCC, One Utama, where we are not yet, but where we'd like to be. One of the reasons I'm in town is also, in addition to the opening of our store tonight, is to visit a couple more malls that we are looking at. But it'll be very important to make sure we don't just jump out and sign up many leases, because, as I mentioned, there's so many malls being built in Malaysia at the moment, and there's bound to be some casualties along the way that we want to avoid becoming a casualty.
Right, yeah, definitely fair enough. And on that note, that's about all the time we have.
Right.
Steen, thank you so much for coming on the show today to give us a taste of the world of fried chicken. And with that, I'm Christine Wong, speaking to Steen Pogart, the CEO of Four Fingers for Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.